Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I am buzzing with today's guest. We've got a 19-year-old guy on called Thomas Atkinson. He is England's amputee goalkeeper. How you doing, mate?
No, I was just born without my left hand and my left foot. When people say, like, oh, does it feel weird? But really, it's all I've ever knew. By the age of 9, I got offered the chance to go train with England. I feel like, I mean, I started my career off at Newcastle and I made my debut when I was, like, 15. I mean, to have 18 caps by now, I'm very happy with that. In amputee football, you use crutches when you're not fielding. If I had a crutch, I'd just be going around in circles. I could not use two crutches, so I'd probably be useless there. When we recently played at the Nations League, which we won, and I got goalkeeper of the tournament. Came off the back of that. I mean, it was hosted in Warsaw, in Poland, so that came off of that. So, like, well, there was, like, opportunities. Like, might be able to go play for Legia Warsaw. And I was like, I think so. Like,
even just chatting to you for briefly, I find you really inspirational.
I mean, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and have two hands. You've got to accept what you've got. Like, the cards have been dealt.
I think you've got a huge career ahead of you, not just in the sport, but in the social media aspect of it, mate. I can see you going really far.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. I am buzzing with today's guest because there's going to be some stories that I've never heard before, and I'm really intrigued into a lot of what goes on. What many of you won't know is I've got a 19-year-old guy on called Thomas Atkinson, and he's actually an England international. He plays in Poland for Legia Warsaw, but he is England's amputee goalkeeper. How you doing, mate?
I'm absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's been a long way to get in. I'm buzzing to get this started. It's class.
Yeah, mate, honestly, like, I can't wait to hear your background stories and stuff like that. And I really appreciate you coming in. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because it's something that's opened my eyes up. The more research I've been doing into you and your career and the rules and the regulations of being an amputee footballer, it's actually an incredible little world.
Yeah, I mean, it's not seen by a lot of people. I mean, it's an absolute pleasure to be here to start with. And I appreciate the opportunity to share my story and obviously to a wide audience and show, like, disability sport and, like, especially amputee football and myself. So, yeah, massively appreciate the opportunity.
So, being an amputee footballer then, can you run me through break down your body?
Yeah, so
best way of saying it.
So when I was just a baby, I don't have, like, a traumatic story like some people have got to deal with, like, your cancers, your accidents, stuff like that. I mean, I'd say I'm lucky as in the spectrums, and, like, I didn't have to go through that trauma or incidents. So I was just born with it. I've got a boring story. When some people say, like, did you get bit by a shark? I was like, I sometimes tell kids, yeah, to get bit by a shark just for their engagement, they want to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. All the birds.
Yeah, exactly. They want a story or something like that. You can wait till someone hears in, like, a bar or something like that, you got bit by a shark, and then everyone wants to know your story. But no, I was just born without my left hand and my left foot. So realistically, when people say, like, oh, does it feel weird? Or how do you do this? Does it feel different to this? But realistically, it's all I've ever knew. So when they say, like, does it feel different? I can't really give an answer, because I don't know what it feels like to have two hands.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get your own ways about it. So, I mean, I'm used to it by now. This is my usual. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and have two hands, which would be very weird. But, yeah, I found my ways about it.
Yeah, obviously being an amputee goalie then, one of the rules is you have to have an amputated arm, don't you, or hand, don't you? So obviously that's like one of the biggest fundamentals of being a goalkeeper. getting into being a goalkeeper then would have been a weird start.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you say people like, oh, like, okay, you play football, like you've seen some people like with one hand playing football, and there's a woman in America called, I think her second name's Pickett, and she plays with one arm, and you say like, all right, okay, what position do you play? It's like goalkeeper, right? Okay, no. Because if you've got one hand, it's probably the best position, well, the only position you wouldn't put you is probably in that. So explaining that's obviously a pretty hard run, but I played mainstream, like I played like outfield, and I love playing outfield. I still play a little bit outfield, still back myself as a decent outfielder. But obviously opportunities came around, and I mean, this was a requirement to play for England, and I mean, what have you got to do to play for England? Oh, I mean,
unbelievable.
I'm there for it.
Yeah, no, exactly that. But you could qualify to play outfield anyway because of your amputated foot anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but, like, I'd be mega versatile. I could have a goalkeeper and striker in the same guy, but no, I don't. In amputee football, you use crutches when you're not fielding, and goalkeepers have restricted arm. But if I had a crutch, I'd just be going around in circles. I could not use two crutches, so I'd probably be useless there. But
right, can you run us through some of the rules then?
Yeah, absolutely. So amputee football is a seven-a-side game, 50-minute games, smaller than, obviously, mainstream games, but some people like that. Some say it's a bit like more bite-sized things. Yep. I mean, like, I think a few companies try to run like the smaller games. So, 50-minute games, seven aside. All outfield players use crutches because they're missing a leg, but it doesn't matter like what part of the leg. Like, some people lose it right at the foot, some people lose it by the knee, some people just don't have any of the leg at all. It doesn't really matter as long as you're on crutches. Goalkeepers have an arm deficiency, so they'll play with their arm like pretty much inside the top. So, as in, like, I mean, I'm lucky as in regards to like, I've lost my arm at like just missing my hand. But some people might lose at the elbow or like the shoulder or like in between. So we'll just keep it fair. Everyone plays with their arm inside the top just to keep it as a level playing field. Goals are smaller than 11-a-side goals. They're about 9-a-side goals, sometimes a little bit bigger in between. Apart from that, I mean, it's very hard to explain. You'd probably best just have a look at it.
I was saying, I was doing my research. I'm watching something. It's actually incredible and how competitive it is. And like full-blooded, it's like people proper challenging and they're on crutches. And
that's one of the things that like people don't really understand. As in like the field disability sports, and say like, oh, it's like, oh, inclusive, or like, it's just nice to like have like a platform to play.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely like, people want to win. It's a major like men's sport. I mean, like, if you look at some part of like disability football, some people are just happy to be there, whereas everyone wants to win. Like, you're playing for something, you represent your country, and there's no way you're just going to get on the pitch and be like, oh, I'm happy I've got a platform to play football. Yeah. You go out and represent your country, so you've got to put everything on the line. I mean,
I know you're only 19 as well, right? But the sport itself is obviously, from looking at it, is growing as well.
Yeah, massively. I mean, I probably came into like the right time. So like 10 years ago, I mean, the sport was nowhere near it is now. I mean, we've got like loads of sponsors and it's massively built. I mean, it's professional in many places, not in England quite, but in like Poland, Turkey, it was for a little bit in Russia, and there's like loads of money coming into it, and it's a great time to be a part of it. So I'm blessed in my position, really.
Yeah, no, right. We're going to crack on with some quickfire questions, and I'm going to come back round to everything, especially playing in Poland, which is incredible. The England stuff as well, right? So this is just some light-hearted stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So I've got ketchup or mayo.
Honestly, Neve, I'm not a sauce guy.
Not a sauce
guy? No, it's very controversial.
Not a northerner, loves gravy or anything.
I can get on board with gravy.
Yeah, there we go.
Ketchup, mayo, though, I'll stay away.
Yeah, well, obviously, you live in Carlisle now. Yeah. You're from Carlisle?
Yeah, but born and raised. I mean, you'll know it yourself. So I'm from like a smaller city, and like my story's quite helped me. As in, like, I'm like one in a very, very few in Carlisle. Whereas if I was in like, for example, London, I'd be like one in like a million with a similar story. So it's really helped my background being from Carlisle.
Yeah, no, obviously I played at Carlisle for a year and that, and it's a tough place. Yeah. It's cold and
I know.
Wet.
very
wet.
It really is cold. I remember watching you in the stands. Yeah. I went to Carlisle game, and I was like, that was probably, would you say, one of your best seasons?
It was a different role for myself. It was like to try and help the club stay up, and we were under Kosh heavily that season.
Major.
We went through a couple of managers, and I really enjoyed my time because I took on a massive leadership role in the dressing room. So not only was I like trying to do the best for me and play as best as I can, but I was trying to Monday to Friday help the lads out and try and make the place better and try and improve the professionalism. And it's quite small-minded at the moment, Carlisle. And obviously the new manager, Simo's come in and he's trying to change that and trying to get it back to where he had got the club years ago.
Yeah. I mean, he's been great ever since he came in. He's like massive in the community and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's class to be part of Carl at the moment. I'm in League One now, which is that's class for them. I wasn't expecting a promotion from them, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Right, favourite goalkeeper kit colour?
Oh, I'd always go black.
Yeah.
I like a black. I like matching my gloves and like boots and kit, and I like to go like black boots.
Yeah.
So I like the matching combo.
Yeah,
so,
nice. Yeah, I love it. I'm a boot and glove combo. Yeah, it has to be done.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah.
What's a favourite stadium you've played at?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, I should have thought about this before I came here. I couldn't tell you, to be honest. Give me like, if you give me like 5 minutes,
yeah,
I'll probably get it.
So who's your favourite ever goalkeeper? You don't have to say me.
Honestly, I know he's quite recent. I'm not going to go like historic. I mean, I'm only young. I'm going to say Jordan Pickford.
Yeah.
I mean, I model like a lot of my style about him, like the way I, like I act, the way I act on the pitch, and like, and in the way I like play football, I very much like idolise him as in regards to like the playing with his feet, the
strong Northern lad,
the very if similar to me really in it, very loud, very like boisterous, he's quite cocky, and so I can relate to
that.
Like
nice
it.
That though, right? Movie or box set?
Movie.
Yeah. Right. World Cup or Champions League?
Got to be World Cup. Got
to
be.
Has to be, doesn't it? How tall are you?
I'm exactly 6 foot.
Nice.
It's a little bit small for a goalkeeper, but I mean.
Like you said, you're playing a slightly smaller goal anyway.
Smaller net, so I mean, I'm still not tall by any standards, not like yourself.
Yeah.
But I've got no problems in this. I like, you're not going to get chipped and the things like that.
Right,
I definitely don't.
Tea or coffee?
I go tea. I'm not a massive drinker, but I'll go tea.
Right, and then finally, right, it's the last minute of a game. You can save the penalty to win the game, or you can score a goal.
I'm going to say save the penalty.
Oh, yeah.
The absolute scenes. I know you can say, like, oh, goalkeeper's got a penalty, it's unreal, but I think the atmosphere, like you've seen it, like it's unbelievable. Where, like, especially when no one expects you to make the save.
Yep.
Like everyone erupts, fans erupt, players erupt. It's unreal.
Yeah, nice, right? I'm going to kick this off with like I normally go back to the very start, then, right? So when did you first play in goal, and what was it that just drew you right in?
Yeah, so obviously I played mainstream for ages. I played mainstream like since as soon as you can like get into a team and kick balls for about like 5 or 6, isn't it?
So like that's like Sunday league team or little leagues and stuff like that, training sessions.
Yeah, like I started going, like I was always 1-to-1. I was like an extra coach on top, just like I was part of like a footballing family. So I mean, like they always wanted like an extra training session or like another way to play football. So I'd always train with a team, have another coach. And then about by the age of 9, I got offered the chance to go train with England, which came about through, I was just at a football camp with like in the summer holidays and just playing football with Cal United. And then I got referred through the Cumberland FA, a woman called Jess, which I can't forget because, I mean, she started the story. Then I got referred to the England programme and I went training with them when I was like 9 years old. And I've been there ever
amazing,
since, really.
That's amazing, really. Like, obviously, from 9 years old, you got into that system, and to have developed over the last 10 years and the coaching, the opportunities that you've gone on to have. Massive thanks to Jess.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's always going to be that person that's got to push the first step, got to make the first phone call. And I mean, that's a person that did it for me, so I've kind of got to give my career to it.
Yep. Like you said, you've loved playing outfield and that.
Yeah,
What was it about being a goalkeeper that you was like, you know what?
I think you've always got a bit of a screw loose. Everyone says it. I mean, like, no one can say, like, oh, let's just jump in there and everyone kick a ball against me. You've got to have a little bit of a screw loose. But I don't know. There was just something instantly when I got into it and I realised I was a bit above average, I'll say. And I was like, you know what, I could proper kick on here.
Yeah.
And I like it. And I mean, like, with the opportunity to represent England in that, I was like, that's me. Like, I'm all here for it. I'll put everything towards, like, working towards that goal.
See, at 9 years old, I can't imagine ever getting an England call-up.
Yeah.
What was you feeling at that time?
Honestly, I didn't know what to think of. My dad sorted it more than I did. He just said, like, oh, we've got, like, a training session. We're down in Lancashire, like, Leyland. And I was like, yeah, no problem. I mean, I wasn't used to, like, the big travels by then. It was more like, oh, I'm not going to last in this car journey, like, stuff like that. And then, but like once I got the chance, like I'm representing England here, I watched like the men's play, and then it was my training session afterwards, and I was like, whoa, like this is pretty cool. And then from there, I mean, at 9 years old, I didn't think I really like appreciate the position I was in. But obviously years later, I mean, the opportunities came about it, so yeah, it's class.
Yeah, no, obviously like at 9 years old, there wouldn't have been loads of other players your age group.
Yeah, no,
was it like a very mixed age group?
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. It was more like branches like under 16s, I think everyone was similar to my age, but it wasn't even a big session. Like in regards to like amateur football, you're getting like, normally you'd maybe get like, say under 10s, you'd maybe get like, in your academy, you get like maybe like 15, 16.
Yeah.
That amputee session, like it was on like the very like 10 years ago now. I think maybe like six at a session, which obviously you'd say a smaller group, team and that, but. At that point, you think, like, oh, that's not great numbers, but...
That's also unbelievably good, though, from the English FA, that they try and bed you in really early. Yeah.
Well, we're absolutely no affiliation to the English
FA. Oh, you're not? No.
No, see how we've got a different badge?
Oh, of course you have,
because we don't receive any funding from the FA.
Amazing.
Not even a penny, so all the money that, like, England have got to, like, take is through sponsors, so, like, we're heavily sponsor-reliant. It's got to be, like small businesses, like, large businesses... come across as sponsors of, I mean, it's a registered charity.
Yep.
So when you're representing England, you think, wow, he's going to be, they must be paying loads. I mean, like, if you look at, like, when, like, Sterling makes an appearance for England, he gets, like, his England fee, doesn't he? But with us, like, you can't pay, as in, like, the FA is not involved with us. So we're just heavily sponsor reliant. So everything's going to come for, like, us or.
Do you think that there's room for that to change?
I mean, they've came about in the past few years. I mean, with the sport, like, rapidly developing, I mean, it's everywhere. Like, it's one of I'm pretty sure it's, like, the top disability sport in England, which is quite a great title to have.
Amazing.
But the offer they gave towards was really, like, a blanket offer that wasn't really, like specific towards our needs, not very, like, understanding of how big our programme is. So I think that's went away for now, but, I mean, they're more than open to it in the next coming years. But it's got to be an offer that appreciate what we've done.
Yep. So obviously you're saying the sponsorship sort of,
yeah,
like, that must be obviously the be-all and end-all for the sport, and heavy reliant on that. And without them, you wouldn't have been able to do the opportunities that you have had, and the sport in general wouldn't have grown without the small businesses backing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like a family, like, sort of, like, environment where, you know, like, this isn't going to get done if this doesn't get done. Like, you can't just say, oh, like, we'll pluck this amount of money from the FA, or, like, we've got all these, like, receipts to, like, we'll pay for this, absolutely no problem. Whereas it's going to be like, oh, they've donated like maybe like 30,000 towards you, or like 50K to try and support your journey, which is, like, incredible. So, like, any sort of donations or, like, sponsorship that we can get towards the team, like, it really does go a long way. And it's not just one of your big group of sponsors. Like, you know, you'll see, like, sometimes on, like, match days, sponsors, you get, like, there's, like, loads, whereas ours, there's not as many. So, like, it's all, like, very, like, one big family in regards.
Yep. And how often were you joining up with England?
So we'll do, with the national team, nowadays we'll do maybe, like, once, twice a month, which will be, like, a full weekend. I mean, I'm there this weekend. So we'll do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you'll leave, and then you'll go back. You'll have, like, obviously your domestic leagues. You'll obviously be training away from the programme. You've got, like, England programmes to give you, like strength conditioning coaches, nutrition, etc. So it's, like, in regards, you'll say it's, like, a charity, but, like, it's a very professional setup in regards.
Sounds incredible.
There's everything there that the professional level would have.
Yep. And obviously, when you're coming through at that age, are you signed to a team? Are there a lot of teams up and down the UK? As someone that's quite naive to it all?
Yeah, not so many, as in regards to, like, you'd say as a professional club, like, you're never normally, like, an hour or two away from, like, a professional club, no matter what level it is. But there's not many. So there's, like, it's always up and down, and, like, programmes are introduced and stuff. Like, I mean, I started my career off at Newcastle, and I made my debut when I was, like, 15 in the league, which was class. And, I mean, they gave me the platform to play and, like, get me involved in the England setup. And then I went to Portsmouth, which I still, like, semi-play. I mean, I'm playing the Champions League soon in Portsmouth. So, I mean, there's many teams. You've got, like, Everton's, there was Man City's, Arsenal's, Chelsea, Brighton, West Brom. I mean, there's loads of big teams, even, like, your small teams, like your Peterboroughs and stuff like that. But, like, obviously, programmes come and go, and, like, there's obviously you can't get, like, just pluck, like 10 amputees from, like, a random area. You've got to have, like, a bit of interest, got to have a bit of, like, ability about you. So,
and it's a lot of travelling involved that major. People wouldn't realise. Like you're saying, Portsmouth, for instance.
Yeah, I know.
You being based in Carlisle.
I couldn't get any further away, really.
No, exactly. So the commitments that you have to make and give up, and your own personal life must have taken a little bit of a suffering.
Of
but for the love of the sport, that you're so invested in it. Like, how hard is it, that aspect? Yeah.
Especially when, like, I'm so young. Like, I mean, I'm 19 and I've still got, like, I'm trying to pursue, like, a professional career. Well, still have, like, a childhood, really, isn't it? I know I'm probably out of that stage now, but, like, obviously you're socialising, like, oh, your mates are going out, and, like, oh, sorry, I can't. I'm playing, like, with England, and, like, I'm training, like, I've got a match day or something like that. Like, there's a lot of sacrifices you've got to make, but, I mean, like, to get to a point where, like, you can say, like, oh, I've won this, like, I've got these, I mean, the sacrifices you've got to make, isn't it? You've got to really do it.
Yeah, and like I said, the sport's growing, and the teams that you've already said,
yeah, yeah.
Do you find that the transfers are strange? Obviously, I'm going to lead on to how you get into play into Poland. Yeah. But like, are you moving clubs constantly? Is it because of location, the size of the club, the support that you get?
Yeah. Obviously, it depends. Like, some people move very often. Like, some people might even like stay like one club a season. But I mean, I'm probably one of the people that I'll play for where I'm needed, wherever can benefit me. I mean, Portsmouth gave me the opportunity to play like Premiership football, gave me the opportunity to like play on national television, like play with like the England players, play against the best people like week in, week out. So there's a bit of movement about, but obviously you get like international moves now, which is like, that's the major one. And that's what I've recently came upon.
Yeah, obviously, let's go on to signing in Poland for Liga Warsaw. Like, that is just in itself is unbelievable. Obviously, I would have loved to have played abroad in my career. And like, I've had a few offers, but they're not realistic. So like, for you to actually go and do it at 19 years old is actually mental.
Yeah, I know. It was never something that I would have thought about. I always thought like, oh, I want to play for the biggest clubs in England. But then this offer came about, I mean, when we recently played at the Nations League, which we won, and I got goalkeeper of the tournament. And then it came off the back of that. I mean, it was hosted in Warsaw, in Poland. So that came off of that. They said like, oh, there's like opportunities, like might be able to go play for Legia Warsaw. And I was like, I think so. Like, there wasn't something that's mentally like holding me back. And I thought, you know what, I might as well, I'm still young. I don't have like my commitments of like, I don't have a family to pay for. I don't have my children to look after. I don't have my house mortgage, stuff like that. I thought, if there's a perfect time to do it, I might as well do it now. And I've loved every minute of it over there. It was class.
What's the standard like out there compared to in England?
See, in England, it's a lot of like, you'll play against a lot of like English players. So it's a lot of like, you'll play the similar players. You'll know how they play. You play with them all at the international level. Yep. Whereas over there, it's like, I mean, on my team, there's like loads of like Moroccans, Spanish, Polish, Germans. I mean, it's very international. So you'd say like the levels are higher, in my opinion, as in you'll get like, you get something new. Like, you won't be facing the same team. You won't know how this guy plays. I mean, you learn the patterns of play off like your players you're playing week in, week out. Whereas over there, it's something brand new. It's like a new setup. I'm adapting to the change all the time. I've never played against these guys before, so it's a challenge, but I'm really enjoying it.
Is that their scouting system's better, or is it just that they pick people up at all the major tournaments and stuff like that?
It's probably like the major tournament. I mean, it's very well funded in Poland. I mean, it's professional, like it's fully paid sport, and like in Turkey, so like they have the chance to go like, oh, we'll take an English player, or we'll like this guy. We've watched his clips. He's pretty good. So I think it's just the fact that they have the facilities to be able to do stuff like that instead of in England, like, or oh, do you want to come play for us? Not like, oh, we'll give you the money to come play for us, or we'll give you the like facilities to come play for us. Where in England, it's like, oh, if you fancy it, sort of vibes.
What's the logistics like for you playing in Poland? Because I know we've been speaking for a couple of weeks now trying to work out a date for you to come in, and you'll be like, oh, I'm flying out this day and I'm not in the country that day.
There's a lot of travel. Like, I say that I'm regularly based in Carlisle. It just means I'm going to do a lot of travelling, a lot of like coming back, leaving early, coming back very late at night, missing like large chunks of the weeks. But I mean, once again, some things you got to sacrifice. Yeah. But I don't mind the travel. Like, honestly, I don't. I've been doing it since I was very young, as in like playing for teams that aren't very close. So again, like the car was like
probably
my second
home. To get to Poland is to Portsmouth.
Honestly, it is. It takes way less time. Like, you'll go from like Manchester, like 2-hour trip to like Warsaw, and then boom, I'm there. Whereas like 9 hours to Portsmouth, I was like, rather not. No. So
obviously, you're flying out to Poland, for a game, training. How long are you out there for?
Like 4 days, 5 days.
Right, okay.
But I mean, I've only recently went over there, and you don't really play during the winter, so I'm like, I'm in England for now.
Yeah.
Because like mega cold over there, you get like sub zero. Like, I thought Carlisle was cold, but over there it gets way colder. So I'll go back out there in like January, February time, and then be back out there for like the chunk of the season.
And then your season is how long?
I think the Polish season, I mean, it's my first season involved, so I think it's about 8-9 months.
Yep.
It's very much like a summer sport over there.
Yep.
Which probably makes sense. You don't have them like freezing nights and like your cold rainy night in Stoke. You don't quite have that. So it's all right. I mean, 8-9 months, it's a nice season to have. It's not like a full year, so we'll take that.
Obviously, you've only just moved then, so it's a new experience. You're clearly really excited about it. It must be so, it's daunting a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is there a little bit of nerves, or is it just pure, like, this is what an opportunity this is?
I was mega excited. Like, I thought, like, oh, I can't wait. And then, like, we met with, like, some of the staff. Like, they gave us all our tops and stuff like that. I was like, I'm proper getting into it now. I'm proper excited. But then from that, I was thinking, like, I don't know, I'm a little bit nervous. And, like, we got there and I was like, none of them spoke like a lick of English to start with. And we're like, oh, this is going to be a long time. We had our translator and they were like, they'd say a joke And then like 10 seconds later, we'd hear it. And then we'd have to laugh. So like you get a bit of lag, and then you're like start getting a bit like just like the Polish guys and the English guys there, which was hard to start with. But after we got playing, and like after we started playing well, especially, that's when you can all start being part of a team. And it's very much like a team environment. I don't feel like I'm just like an outcast, as in like I'm just the English lad that doesn't speak a word of Polish.
Yeah.
It's very much like a team environment now, so there's nothing to be nervous about anymore.
How long have you signed for?
I only signed in maybe June, July.
But what's your contract length?
Oh, 18 months.
18 months. So are you planning to learn any of the language?
Yeah, I mean, I've started getting on board. I mean,
they'll
teach me a little bit. I mean, they might just sometimes they just teach me the wrong words. I mean, they'll just say like I was going about once just saying like completely the wrong thing, and everyone's just laughing at us. Like, I wanted to say, one of the physios handed me a water, and instead of saying thank you, I said hello, which made no sense. So, it was interesting, but, I mean, it's a really hard language to learn.
I can imagine.
I mean, like Spanish you get taught in, like, skills and that, and, like, French you get taught in skills, like, when you're young. But Polish, I mean, you won't have a clue. Like, if I told you to speak a bit of Polish, would you?
No, not a chance. Yeah, I wouldn't know where to start either.
Yeah, I was the exact same. It's a lot of, like, ch and v and z, like, a lot of them sounds, which aren't really common in the English language, so... Yeah. It's a hard effort.
So even like now that you're back in England and that, are you still trying to work out like pass, block shots?
Yeah.
Are you trying to work out left and right? Like,
so
that you can then talk to your defenders?
Yeah, I mean, their English is like okay to a decent extent. Their English is better than my Polish.
Yes.
So like I can have a decent conversation. It's a lot, very like broken English.
Yeah.
But obviously it's on me to like learn to be able to communicate with them better. I mean, it's going to help my performance. It's going to help them as well. So I'm trying to get the grips of it. I'll do like maybe like session every 2 weeks. That's me at the moment.
Yeah.
Until I go back over there, and hopefully this could help me out. But it just goes out of my brain like that.
Yeah. So. Well, as we've said, right. So it's a huge honour to represent your country. You made your debut at just 17 years old in the European Championships in Greece.
Yeah.
You've brought one of your caps in from Turkey as well. You went on to win goal of the tournament. Like, it's a whirlwind. You've had quite an introduction, isn't
it? Yeah.
In a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I've had quite a very like exciting career. I mean, there hasn't been like I haven't went through like a very long period. Like you go through like a long period of like, especially when, like you're a young player, like being like number three, number two, and then like you eventually get a chance to be number one. I haven't been fast tracked by any format. Like I've had like you obviously have to go through your tournaments. You have to accept you being number two. You're the young lad. You've got to gain experience. Really, everyone's got to go through that stage, and then obviously I've got my chance to like go be like starting for England. And I mean, I don't always start. Like I don't. But like recently I've get a lot more starts than like I've had in the past, and I mean I've reaped the rewards really. I mean we've got the results to show for it.
Yeah, no, obviously winning, you can say it, but England won their first trophy in 30 years, and you were obviously in the team that did that. Like that's an incredible achievement. You probably don't realise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first major trophy in 30 years. I mean, the last time we won, I wasn't even alive.
No, exactly.
Which is incredible. So like I was so proud to win it. I mean, like even the way we done it, I mean, on foreign turf, we're against Turkey in the first game. No one had beat Turkey in open play since 2018.
Wow.
They're like fully funded, amazing like facilities over there, fully paid professionals. Like when someone's paying to play amputee football, someone's got all the facilities available. That's their full-time job versus someone that's like, it's just like a pastime, like a hobby. And you can imagine it's very hard.
It's very difficult.
So we went and beat them 1-0, and it was the first clean sheet that anyone ever had against them since 2014. And I mean, I was that guy in net. So I mean, that was incredible. I had a really good game as well. So beating them was unreal. Then we beat the host Poland 2-1. Then in the final game, we beat Spain 1-0. And I mean, the scenes were incredible because we were definitely the underdogs. I mean, we were probably like the third favourites going to the tournament. So, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yep. What was the celebrations like?
Oh, don't get me started. No, because it's not great. Obviously, you get all your, like, your change room, like, everyone's going mad and stuff like that. But, like, we're not allowed to drink, like, over there. So we were like, we'll have a beer in the change room, something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, they just didn't let us. And, I mean, they're going to kill me for saying this online. But, no, we weren't best players with that. But hopefully now that we've got that tournament experience, we now know what it's like to win. They can trust us, so... Yeah. We'll see what it's like in the future.
Did they not throw you a party when you got back and stuff like that?
Yeah. To be fair, I'll give them that. When we got back, we had a celebration.
Yeah.
Like on our turf, on our reels. We're not in a foreign country anymore. Yeah. So I kind of get them in that regards. But well, some of us were a bit gutted then.
See, like we're saying about winning the first trophy for the amputee.
Yeah.
Right, in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's like, and we're saying about the involvement and non-involvement of the FA.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been a really good achievement to just feel like you stuck it in their face a little bit.
Proper major. I mean, I think we don't feel like a chip on your shoulder, but like when you get an achievement like that, and then you feel like, you know what, we did this without you.
Yep.
I mean, it'd be amazing. Like we need the funding. Like we'll want them on board. But yep. I mean, like to know that we can do it by ourselves. I mean, that feels class. I mean, yep. like you don't have to be self reliant. You've got the facility to go get these major trophies. You can do it. Like we've shown that we've got a winning squad without having all these major sponsors, without being like fully paid pros.
Yep. And obviously, like I was saying, to just put it in their face, but it must have made them almost have a look at it and go, tell you what, imagine what they could do if we help them a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we can win the tournament against the best teams in the world and do it without their support, imagine what we could do with it. I mean, the facilities, I mean, like the even like the engagement we could get off like growing the sport, it could be incredible. I mean, there's no way to even say what level it could get to, but... Yeah. It could only be exciting, really.
So going out to Poland and to Turkey and Greece, and you're saying that other like leagues are professional and there's a lot more investment in them. Does it make you like go, oh, I want to experience more of that?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to, obviously, but would you like to also help bring that back to England and see the English league transform?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to like have the experience that I have in Poland, in England.
Yep.
I mean, that'd always be the dream. As in, like, you get like... your local teams and your clubs that like your mates support, you're playing for them. I just can imagine that'd be something that you
amazing,
can really be proud of.
Yeah.
But obviously, if it's not currently in England, it's not currently there, I'm not going to wait around and like waste my career away.
Yeah.
I might as well go explore these opportunities that are abroad. And I mean, whether they're in Turkey or Poland, I mean, I'm all on board for it. I mean, whatever I've got to do to get the best out of my career or not waste it, I don't want to look back in 20, 30 years and think, oh, I could have done this. Like, I've missed an opportunity to do some of that. I might as well just do everything I can now.
No, that's amazing. It's really refreshing at 19 years old that you're actually willing to do that. Most, obviously, 19-year-olds will be thinking about their mates and about college and uni. But like you're going, no, I've got a goal. This is what I want to do. I've set my own personal goals. I'm going to go out and achieve them.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, I'll always like want to have time with my mates. I'll always want to be, what are we doing tonight? That's what we're doing this. But it's not always available. I mean, there's always stuff you've got to do in Portland. Like, you've always got to train. You've always got to have your team meetings, your calls with your physios, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So realistically, it's your work-life balance, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and, like, levels of professionalism. You still got to have them.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't just go out and, like, get drunk with, like, the lads or something. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Not when I'm trying to achieve these, like, major goals. Not when I'm trying to, like, go win another trophy. Not when I'm trying to get England to the best we can be. Not when I'm trying to, like, win Champions League, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the sacrifice you've got to make, but I mean, I'm willing to make them at this point.
Proof's in the pudding, isn't it?
Exactly that. When you get stuff to prove that your process is working, you're on the right path. I mean, it's very refreshing to know that this is one of the ways or something like that.
But when you started playing football at 6, 7, 8 years old, like, obviously, you would never have even dreamt it, but when
absolutely
did that goal become a reality? That you, or was it at 9 years old when you first got your call up, or was it a few years down the line? And
honestly, it was just playing because I loved it.
Yeah.
Like at that point, I mean, it still always is that. Like that's always the goal. You're playing football because you like the sport. You're not just playing because the opportunity is there. You've got a contract to play.
Yeah.
But it was only really about when I got to like the under 21s program, and I was like we were playing in like the tournament stuff like that. I thought like I could go on and like represent England properly. I mean, like whatever. Like where that is, whether I'm just like a number two, whether I'm like on the edge of the squad, or maybe I can push on and be the number one. But I mean, the journey's only really starting now. I mean, like most people don't normally break into the first team by 19. So I mean, to have 18 caps by now, I'm very happy with that. So
that's what I mean, but you could still be picking up like under 18, under 19, under 20s, under 21.
Of course.
Like obviously, if the goalkeepers below you in age group, they've probably set their sights on achieving what you've achieved.
Yeah, exactly.
Like. Do you ever look at them and think, oh, that's my age group, like how far ahead am I? Or I've got to be on my toes, I've got to work harder because they're going to be pushing me soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, especially with like our England programme, we've got absolutely no problem with putting like the young players with the England squad. I mean, we've got a current lad training with England squad, just like 16, which is like, it just shows like if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yep.
And then you obviously can gain experience with other people. I mean, I was very young when I started training with the squad, but obviously the opportunity arises, there's always going to be someone younger than you, that's always pushing to be in the shoes that you're in. So it just shows you've got to work hard. I mean, I don't know when the next person's going to come across a good challenge for my place, but I'm always there for the challenge. So
that's the way it should be, though.
Absolutely.
You should thrive off the challenge and you should embrace it almost. It'll make you better and make them better.
Definitely makes you better. Like, you're like a number one battle than number two. Or if you've got a battle for whether there's even a clear number one or a clear number two, it's always going to make you run better. I mean, I've got a lad at England called Kieran Lambourne. He was number one when I first got involved, and now we're like neck and neck, really. But I mean, I've learned so much off him, and I mean, I hope so. He's learned a lot off me. But I mean, like, me not being able to like walk into that team and be the number one, or him not being able to just walk in that team and be the number one, I can imagine it's really helped us both across our career.
Oh, brilliant. Right, I've got our quiz now.
Right,
I was
filling
you in before. So I'm going to go on to goalie or no goalie. It's 1 point for each correct answer. And I've got five international goalkeepers and five random names from... I normally do it off who you follow on social media or a bit of background I've done on you. So you ready to start?
Yeah, I'm ready.
A bit nervous, aren't you?
I'm curious. That's what it is.
That's the way you're putting it, right?
Yeah.
Right, so number one, Yunling Yang.
I'm going to say goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. He is a China and Shanghai port goalkeeper.
Good, really
Yunling
good.
Yunling Yang. My pronunciation's terrible. And
I think you bossed that, honestly. I think you've bossed it.
Right, number two, Robert Ozils.
Not a goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper. He is a goalkeeper and Ordo Riga.
Respect to him.
Yeah, looks tough guy.
I wouldn't mess with him. He looks like a bouncer.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Tough. Right, number three, Olenjide Olatunji.
Not a goalkeeper.
He's not a goal. You know that name.
Is that KSI?
That's KSI. Yeah, lovely.
I'm young enough. You can't get that one on me. I'm young enough for that.
I've actually, for all of yours, done it for your era. I've done like YouTube, Twitch and gamers.
Love that. Love that.
So like, this is right, a little bit of background on yours. Right, number four, Xander Clark.
Xander Clark's not a goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper for Scotland and Hearts.
Oh, respect him. I like, rare that beard, by the way.
Yeah, it's big beard. He was at St. Johnstone with one of my fellow goalkeeper coaches that I used to work with, Paul Mathers. Speak really well of him.
Good lad.
Yeah, he's... Right,
what take that on the chin.
2 out of 10. Yeah. 2 out of 4 so far. Right, number five, James Donaldson.
I've heard that name before. That's a goalkeeeper.
He is not a goalkeeper.
Oh, I'm having a mare.
He is Mr. Beast.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, I know it's Jimmy.
Jimmy, yeah.
Oh, he's known in his videos as Jimmy. But... Yeah,
real name, James.
Yeah, fair game,
It's a bit of a trick, mate.
I've heard that it rang a bell. Yeah. I was thinking it was some sort of like local, like League One sort of goalkeeper, but...
No, I've had a mare. All of them... The non-goalkeepers are definitely non-goalkeepers.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'm not that mean.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, number six, Benjamin Bushell.
Benjamin Bushell is not a goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper. Oh, he is a Liechtenstein goalkeeper and Vaduz.
Fair game to him. Yeah. Fair game.
All the names are meant to throw you, mate. The game is a trick.
Right. Okay.
Right. Number seven, Morgan Birtwistle.
Not a goalkeeper.
Not a goalkeeper. Not a goalkeeper. Go on.
Is it Morgs? No. Oh, it's big Angry Ginge, isn't it?
Angry Ginge.
What a character, by the way. What a character.
Too, you know.
Yeah. Have you seen him play?
Yeah.
Oh, he plays outfield as well.
Yeah, he does. He loves a tackle, doesn't he?
I watch him like TikTok and stuff like that. You get his little clips in. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah. I watch his reaction stuff. Yeah. Where he watches someone else do stuff and he's just in the background laughing. I think he's brilliant.
It's like United. Oh, it's funny that. Good lad.
Yeah. Right. Number eight. Darren Watkins Jr.
I'm going to say not a goalkeeper.
He is not a goalkeeper. Do you want to have a guess who he is?
Couldn't tell you.
It's Isho Speed.
Is it? Oh, honestly, I just know him as Speed. I couldn't even tell you what his real name was.
Cristiano Ronaldo. Sui.
Yeah. She is charity game, by the way.
Oh, mate.
That was not a pinnacle of football.
When he's giving it to Clattenburg, the ref, yeah. Mate, that's the best bit.
See the penalty as well.
Oh, my God. You can tell it's the worst penalty in the world.
You can properly tell he's, like, absolutely bricking it.
Yeah.
They've even tried to get him a goal. Like I think KSI's borderline gave him the ball to score. Do you recall, like, his reaction would have been amazing.
Imagine the fans' reaction as well.
Yeah, I know. I could tell he was borderline. I think he was in borderline tears when he missed that pen. But
KSI just didn't really want to save it either. Yeah, it kind of hit him and went wide.
I don't even think he tried it. Just hit, like he hit him. He stood still.
Yeah. Are you big into YouTube?
Not so. I mean, I don't really have time to watch it. If I'm got my spare time, I'll be on like Spotify or something like that. I'll scroll TikTok or something. Yeah. You'll find like your little clip that'll make you laugh or something like that. I can scroll on there for ages. Yeah. As long as it's something funny, I can scroll for ages.
Nice. Right, so you're on 4 so far. Let's try and get you 2 more. Right, so number 9, Hassan Sunny.
That's a goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper. Yeah. He is a Singapore goalkeeper at Albirex.
What's the normal score they get on these?
Yeah, it's like 6 or 7. It's all 50-50.
Right, we're going for above average then.
Right. So number 10, we're going to finish on Callum Whitworth.
Cal the Dragon.
That's the Dragon. Good, I thought it would throw you as
that's
well.
That's good.
Good, mate. 6 out of 10? You're happy with that? I've got to be happy with that.
No, we started having a bit in there and I was thinking, I should have got these by now. Yeah. That Mr. Beast one's throwing me off. I'm not happy with that, but... I'll take that above average.
6 out of 10's good, mate.
Have you seen Call of Dragon play?
Yeah, I have.
What are your thoughts on this one, then?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Obviously, it's all a bit... He thinks he's obviously a lot better than he is, but I fully admire it that he just goes out, obviously, and
the confidence is major, isn't it?
Exactly,
It was just like during the lockdown thing, we saw like, I'm better than Jordan Pickford. I was like... Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that makes it controversial. But then, like... The stick that he received in the YouTube match was unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it like without knowing. I believe he's on the spectrum to an extent.
Yes, he is,
there's loads of people commenting like stuff online without realizing, like, taking that in, stepping back and realize, right, okay, he's a content creator, but he's a person as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I mean, people find that hard to like understand as like to levels, but I mean. The confidence is unreal. I mean, he does stuff for clicks, and I mean, as soon as I can get a proper laugh out of
him,
like, he's playing against like a garden bin or something like that, and I mean, like, he's won like 7-0 and like celebrating. I was like, unreal. That's unreal. Like, he's celebrating his garden by himself. I love it. I'm all on board for it.
His little fire emojis.
Yeah.
He's got
something in his hair, and I mean, like, whatever you do, but I mean, like, I couldn't do it myself, so I admire your confidence.
Yeah. Right, well done on the quiz, but I want to crack straight on with some glove talk now.
Yeah.
I'm a proper glove geek, as you can tell. Yeah. So what gloves do you wear? I say gloves. Let's correct this term.
Glove, it's not plural,
glove,
is it?
Yeah.
We brought some pairs along just for a comparison, but I mean, amputee football, I only need one glove, really. So, I mean, like having a second glove on this arm, fairly useless. I mean, there's no point. So on to my gloves. I'm always an Adidas guy. We had like an exclusive deal with like, you've got to be like Adidas, like boots, Adidas gloves. So like... Okay, like I've kind of like grew up with it now, I mean, like even when we're not part of this like exclusive deal with Adidas, I still kind of tend to choose Adidas. It's what I know.
Yep.
But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I honestly, I think the latex on Adidas gloves. I just want to show people the comparison of the wear and tear. Obviously, a brand new glove.
Yeah,
never used.
Have a guess which side I don't have.
Exactly, But like, obviously, the pitches that you're playing on.
Mm-hmm.
Is it AstroTurf mainly?
It depends where you're at, like, in the world. I mean, like, obviously, like, your high-funding places tend to have, like, your perfect grass pitches.
Yep.
Whereas, like, in England, we tend to have more, like, your 4Gs and stuff like that. And we normally train on 4G, play on grass, which is maybe a little bit backwards, but I don't know. We do it in England, though.
Because you're currently in the 1.0s Adidas, right? And obviously, their latex is the softest latex.
Yeah.
And that's what I wondered, obviously, if you play a lot on AstroTurf, because the 2.0s are a bit more harder wearing for AstroTurf and stuff like that.
These are 2.0s, Yeah, these are the 2.0s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a mix and match, really. I prefer to, like, honestly, I'm not more of, like this certain latex. I'm more of, like, always a fit. I'll always have something, like, I like having something, like, high up my wrist. I like being, like, fully secure in my glove. Honestly, I'd more be more worried about the looks and the feel of it, because if I bought the glove, if I use it, it's because I like it. So I've got absolutely no problem wearing any of them.
Yep, and that's why you're, like you said, you stick to Adidas. It's what you know and love. I'm the same. I stick to Cells. I've done it my whole career. It's, I've got
mix and matching's a bit crazy, isn't it?
Exactly. Some keepers do like doing it, or they'll trial out gloves and white out a pair of gloves and try another brand and. Obviously, you find ones that you are more suited to, different cut styles. Have you ever tinkered with
stuff like that. Honestly, I've thought about it so many times. I've looked at it and like think like, oh, like let's have a look at that. I think I've maybe bought I watched it. You use spines, don't you?
Yes.
I'm completely against it. I remember I did it was like from the start of my career because like always your first pair of gloves always have a pair of spines and
always.
like you're Sundico and stuff like that. And I remember trying them and I like thought like what is going on? Like yeah. I being like fully like moving around like I have all my freedom. So I mean as soon as I got to the point I took spines and I was like never again. But is that like what you did like when you were growing up?
Yeah, like, I watched Edwin van der Sar and Shay Given and like they all wore spines. It was just a thing.
They were like classic nightclubs then.
And then so I went for as I started playing myself in the first team, I stopped wearing spines. I would wear obviously just normal sales gloves, roll finger gloves, and I broke a couple of fingers and then started training again in finger saves. And I can do the whole of pre-season in normal gloves, and then as soon as the season starts, like my mindset will go back to what
it's
you know.
Time,
and so it's not down to finger strength. It's just I'm used to that. Yeah, it's just what I'm happiest in.
It's more important to be like not like just comfortable. Like you understand the glove. Like it's not something like it's new. It's not something like thinking like oh I don't know what's gonna happen here. It's like you might as well keep it regimented.
That's it,
gloves is such an amazing like important part of your game, especially the goalkeeper.
One of the biggest.
So there's no point in tinkering something for. Like, oh, this might be better. Yeah. If you're already performing at a high level in what you know, what's the point of changing it for chance?
Have you got any weird superstitions with your gloves?
Not even major. Yeah. I always have my gloves personalised. Jack was one of my close friends. He died, unfortunately, so I always have him on my gloves.
Yeah.
Like I say, I'll always like be there in like big moments and stuff like that. So like I like that touch. But in regards, like I don't like some people like. I used to know Guppy that absolutely soaked his glove. Like before he'd go up for the game, he'd run his tops and gloves under the tap and like soak them. And it's like oh, like I get like moving like proper glove. Like I couldn't get on board with him. Like you do you. But have you seen anything that's like outrageous?
There are some things we've talked on the show before about like the Vaseline on.
I saw that.
But it does work only in extremely wet conditions. It does ruin your gloves. But like some keepers love really wet gloves. Some goalkeepers wear new gloves every day.
Yeah.
But I find that strange.
Privileged position, that.
Yeah, that is a privileged position. Yeah. I'm not lucky enough to be like that. And I actually wouldn't like that.
Yeah, I know. I think once you get a feel of it, once you get a feel of a glove, I feel like going back to like a stiff, it's not exactly stiff to be fair, but I mean, like your fresh out the packet glove, like the feel of the latex is always class. Like you always get like a sticky latex on it. But then apart from that, like I like getting like your home in your glove, like it starts to mould to your finger.
It does,
I think that's a feeling that you can like.
Yeah. But then again, you use them for too long and they go baggy or the latex isn't as good. So gloves do need to be changed. Have you ever thought about having them custom built to you, to your specs?
I thought about it. Like I was getting like custom boots and I was thinking like, you know what? Maybe it's about time to like think about my hand as well, my one and only.
Yeah.
But honestly, I didn't think it never really crossed my mind. I thought for a maybe small time, I thought like I looked around on the internet. I thought like, well, I might have a look at this, but not again. Yourself?
No, I haven't actually had any custom specs. Well, obviously, I have got the spines in and stuff like that. So every now and then, if I've got work like two bad fingers, I'll just wear them ones in, or I'll change how I wear them. But no, I like white boots, white gloves. Like basic.
I'm very similar. White gloves, black boots.
Yep. I want to talk to you as well about your kit. Obviously, you're saying that your arm is tucked in.
Yeah.
Is that a custom kit then that you have to have it tucked in, or?
I think originally it was, and I think for some other teams it is that. But ours is literally just I have short sleeves with my goalie kit because I like having like a skin underneath it and then like a short sleeve kit. I think it looks nice.
Yeah.
So like, it's very just a small sleeve just tucked inside the shirt.
Yeah.
And there'll probably be a photo on the internet somewhere, like on my Instagram or something like that, where it's to be fair, you won't even notice it. Like it generally just looks like there's not a sleeve there. So aesthetically, it's not a problem.
But does that interfere with your body movements?
To start with, like I trained with my arm just outside. Cause that's what like the balance. I thought that's normal. But then like the rule came in and like you've got to be inside your shirt. Let's just keep it fair. Which I understand the rule as in like if someone loses their arm up here, I have an advantage over them.
Yes.
As in I've got an extra area. I've got an extra like even like to jump up on like to make a recovery serve. But I've adapted to it now, as in, like, if I train for so long, I'm eventually going to, like, get used to it.
Yeah.
But to start with, very much so, as in, like, especially your, like, body position, you're thinking, like, I'm losing all the... If I'm going
range.
Right here, I'm losing all this range across my chest. So, I mean, you've got to, like, have a proper spring. It's, like, I value my game more on, like, agility, my speed, and, like, maybe, like, your camera saves some people's But that's like more of my style, as in like very springy about the air and stuff like that. So it's something I've adapted to, and I've something I really model my game on, like your reaction, the crossy save, and like incorporating the fact that you're losing this room. But I mean, in amateur football, strikers know, like you go into that side, like they want that side. But I mean, they understand that goalkeepers can get there. If I used to take a penalty versus me, and I had one arm and no arm this side, you'd think, right, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go that side. Easy penalty scored. But I mean, like, I've adapted to that. I can imagine.
Yeah,
I know this is a side that might be seen as a weakness, where I definitely would say, like, I've got absolutely no problem going that side, no matter where it is. I've been more than comfortable to make those ever.
Do you also notice that, though, with the outfielders that are on crutches, that if they've got, like, they're obviously, if they're right legged,
yeah.
Do they have a preference in their shooting type?
Honestly, nah. I'm a big nerd on penalties. Like, I'll watch a lot of penalties and say, like, it's like, oh, his run-up, he's going here. Like, he's very short run-up, he's very narrow, something like that. But you can kind of see it on the penalties as well. Because if you imagine, like, say you've lost your leg and you're trying to go outside the boot onto the other side, and I can see his run-up's very straight. Because, like, the outside of the boot's quite an important shot in amateur football. I think he's definitely going to hit the outside of the foot here.
Yeah.
And he's not going to go outside the foot back on himself. Not a chance. So I'm pretty confident that he's going to go there. So I've got loads of stuff at home where, like, even like before games, I'll have a little look, and I know this guy goes there. If he goes, apparently, I know exactly where he goes. Yeah. So,
yeah. And so you'll be studying like the analysis side of it, if he's got a preference of how they shoot. And,
yeah.
Because that's what I wonder. Obviously, I love studying penalties, and I do look at like the way that a penalty taker plants his foot.
Yeah.
Because if they plant their foot in a certain way, it normally points the way they're kicking.
Yeah, of course.
The way they throw their arm. Is that sort of thing that you can break down and go, if their crutches are in a certain position, their body is closed, they can only shoot that way?
Absolutely. I mean, like, if someone's crutches are facing this way, the chances of them having the ability to then put it this way, it's on them. Like, that's a much harder shot for them to deliver, especially if someone's looking like they're nervous or it's like a high stakes situation. The chance of them wrapping it back on themselves in a harder technique's not great. So I'll take my chances. I'll go this side if that's what it's going to be. But there's loads of things you can do every time. Like, if you see a big straight run up, you're thinking, I'm just going to wait. I'll wait around. Or if it does a really short run up, I was like, I'll stand on my feet and I'm going to wait for this guy.
Yep.
But I'd always back myself on a penalty.
Yeah.
We've had many penalty shootouts, and in my career, I think I've only lost one, which is an FA Cup final, but we won't speak about that.
have you taken a pen? Can you take pens?
No. So goalkeepers aren't actually allowed to leave the area, even though I would absolutely back myself on a penalty.
Yep.
But I still favour myself in the penalty situation. If someone asked me to take a pen, I would slot that.
Yeah, because obviously, like you're saying, that you look up to Jordan Pickford, who is actually really good on pens.
Yeah, I know.
I think, but like you say about his mentality is he'll try and get in people's heads. And,
yeah, exactly.
And he does a lot of studying. Obviously, Martin Margaretson, the goalie coach at England, has got him to have the... on the bottle, the names and the...
You saw it recently in the Liverpool game. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
He's got it fully on his side, like fully printed. I think a bit risky that. If I was like one of the players, like the ball boys, you think like, get that away. I won't be a fan of that, but it is what it is.
You also, I think now that teams will start going against that now because they know that he's studying them. He's got them written down in his goal. Mm-hmm. And if you know that Mo Salah goes 8 times to his left and he's never been to his right, the first thing I'd do is like... As a goalie, you're thinking it's got to go that way.
Yeah.
But if you were Mo Salah, you'd change direction.
But then you've got a mesh in it. Like, he normally goes that side. That's his side.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe practice it. Maybe have that for like 6-7 years that you always go that side.
Always.
Through your research on like you showing that you know where he goes, you've had to change his regiment. You've had to change his system, which is
you've got in their
a
head
massive
of it.
Benefit.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I think that you would know in that moment if you've watched enough of their penalties to go, their run up's different now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could like last minute just have that quick change and go, tell you what, I'm going to edge my bits. Yeah.
It's very much penalties are always in favour of the attacker.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, if you make a save, it's unreal. But like, if you don't make a save, as much as like a goalkeeper, you think like, oh, I could have saved that.
Yeah.
But you're not always in the favour. But if there's anything you can do to slightly lean the odds more in your favour, you're all here for, aren't you?
Yep. Right, and I want to go on to some training stuff now.
Yeah.
And obviously, training must be heavily adapted to suit you. And
I guess the
scenarios that you find yourself in.
Yeah.
Do you obviously using your other arm?
Yeah.
Like getting up off the ground when it's strapped into your shirt. Do you still find that you use it?
Obviously, you can try. Like I think I'm a little bit of a bad for it, as in like. When I'm like the quick reaction saving the balls, like there's bodies about, like I'll maybe like lean down on my elbow.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you're traditionally not allowed to.
Yeah.
It's gotta be like a lot of like leg work. Like, if you look at me, like I'll jump up really quickly.
Yeah.
It's not instead of like a scramble upwards or like shift to the other side, I'll like work like leg work, like flip back upwards or like I'll use like my fist to like get back up. I don't have damage or latex or anything. But yeah, it's a lot of like different ways. And like you would normally just traditionally, what would you do? Like two hands,
or you do the spin.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, me, I'd say I need to keep this hand free at all times. I'm going to make saves with this. So I need to try using my legs. Can I get my one of my feet underneath me and push me away? That sort of thing. So there's definitely stuff you got to train to adapt for obviously not be able to do a certain technique.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that obviously I find really fascinating is the way that you probably get used to making more spread blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously it's obviously one hand save, but there'll be like no crosses in a game.
Yeah, and especially the leg saves. I'm big on my leg saves. I'll always say like, if I can make it on my leg, I'm going to make it on my leg. Like I think my goalie coach always says, why do you do so many leg saves? And I was like, but it works. Like
it always works. Yeah.
Especially because I've got a prosthetic leg. If I make a leg save, it's going. Like it's pretty much a clearance.
Yeah.
Like the ball gets blasted in and I'm making a leg save to the halfway line. It's class. Like it looks like I've cleared a ball.
Yeah.
Like we had one recently in a League Cup final against Everton and the a shot came in and I've stepped out and made a leg save and it went to the other keeper. I mean, that's unreal. I've made a clearance with my leg as a save.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's disadvantages and advantages, but I mean, I've used my prosthetic leg to have done real advantage over someone.
No, exactly that. And that's one of the things that I'm really fascinated is how you train for that. But like a normal day warm up for me would be do a bit of handling.
Yeah.
But yours is totally like straight into shot stopping and agility work and diving. And
we do a little bit like we tend to do. Like your short passing, then we'll build the range out a bit more, and it straightens like your handling and stuff like that. And then we'll like normally get the first team in, and get involved, maybe the subs involved, get the shot stopping. But obviously, you as a goalkeeper, going to get more people. Like realistically, England are a good team, so we're not going to get absolutely peppered during the game. We're not going to get like 20 shots against us.
Yep.
So realistically, you've just got to be adapting, ready for that. Like maybe 3-4 opportunities that come around at you. For that you're switched on to make them saves.
And how critical are you of yourself as a goalkeeper?
I think you could always be yourself's number one fan, and you're always going to be yourself's number one critic. And I'll definitely say I'm both. I'll always back myself in any situation, but if something goes wrong, I'm the first to know that I could have done better.
Yep.
Especially when I hold myself to just such a high standard, I know that if something's went in, I feel like I could have done better. I always know that.
Yeah.
And there was recently a goal in Poland, and I mean, goal was unbelievable. The balls came into him, he's chested it and bicycle kicked it on his crutches. Like, did you see the Puskás goal?
Yes.
It's very similar to that, but I'd say better personally. And I've made a save out the top corner and I've pushed it onto the bar and then he's just scored the rebound. But I'd say like, if I leapt a little bit earlier, if I've got a stronger hand tackle, there's no chance of a rebound.
But the fact that you've made a world-class save, you're writing that bit off.
Exactly, but like, especially when it goes viral. You'll see, I've seen this goal everywhere now. I'm absolutely sick of seeing it.
Yeah.
But,
Scoreboard gone.
It is what it is. but especially when you see something, you're like, I'm overanalyzing it. You're like, I couldn't have done anything more. I can blame it on a defender, but like, you're always know deep down if you've done something or if you feel like you could have done better, you'll know.
Yeah, you've got so much enthusiasm for your goalkeeping, isn't you? You absolutely love it as well. Yeah, it's so good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got to enjoy football.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just like something that earns you money or it's something like you say like to your pals that you do. You've got to enjoy the sport. I mean, you're getting up at what stupid times to go travel to places and stuff
to,
like that.
To come on a podcast and talk about it and that.
Exactly. I mean, you've got to have a love for it, otherwise you're rapidly going to fall out
of
like enjoyment of the sport. I mean, it's not exactly the path you want to be on.
What do you see is next for you in your career? Obviously, you're trying to help grow the sport and you're developing your own skills. But at such a young age, at 19, you've got a very level head on your shoulders. I can see that you're so passionate about the actual sport and making it work and making it grow. Yeah. And do you see yourself developing those skills and trying to help with those sorts?
Yeah, I like all these like media opportunities and public speaking and stuff like that. So I mean, like any situation I can get myself into and like grow the sport, or, like even like grow myself, I mean, I'm all on board for it. In regards to like my football, like you want to win everything, don't you? Yeah. Like there's not a tournament that goes by that I don't want to win. I'm playing in the Champions League next month in Malaga, and I mean, like I'll go to the exact same attitude to that. I mean, like if I'm playing in it, I want to win it. Like you don't want to go in your career and think, oh, I've won these amount of Premier Leagues, these amount of FA Cups, but I didn't get this. So if there's any opportunities I can get to win the trophies that I want to win, it's always what I'm going to go for.
No, I've even just chatting to you for briefly, I find you really inspirational. And
thank you.
You've got a massive passion for it, like I said before, but like the way that you've adapted, you've made the most out of every situation that you do get, and you're open to new things. It's really refreshing.
Thank you. I think it is what it is. Like, I mean, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and have two hands. It's just you've got to accept what you've got. Like, the cards have been dealt. I could just sit around and feel sorry for myself and not be able, like, the person I am, or I could go make the most of it. I mean, there's people in worse situations than me. So I think you've all got to accept what position you're in. I'm quite lucky in my regards. Obviously, I spoke about before, I didn't have the traumas, I didn't have the cancer, stuff like that. I could be much worse. So it's for me to sit around and not make the best of what I've got. It's just a waste of time, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that, mate. Right. And finally, I always ask and finish on this question, but what does the Goalkeepers Union mean to you?
The Goalkeepers Union, it's like a social aspect to me as well. It's not just like obviously making you better, but like there's so many situations you can relate to. As in, like, if I'm telling a striker what's going on, he won't have a clue in regards to goalkeeping. But if I'm telling a goalkeeper, he knows the crack. Like, what was going on earlier than everyone else? So I can't even relate to that. I don't know what's going on, but the Goalkeepers Union is such an important part of, like, even like your internet as well. Like, you get, like, you don't get a right back dedicated page, you don't get a centre mid dedicated page, but you've also got your goalkeepers, all your goalkeeper content. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Speaking about content, just one more thing. You clearly love a little bit of, like, the content side. Have you ever thought about doing your own YouTube channel?
Honestly, it's something I'm thinking about at the moment, especially like in the age of TikTok, and there's always like, in the age of like, you can get a comment anywhere. And obviously in disability sport, some people are going to take the mick in it. Yeah. Like, you'll always get a comment on two foot, but it's like, when's the second leg? Or zero star weak foot, something like that. I mean, like, but like stuff like that engagement. It's something I'm interested in. I think at some point or another, I'm going to go into like your content creation and stuff like that, because I enjoy it. I don't mind speaking to a camera. I don't mind speaking to someone.
I think you should. I think you'd be an absolute natural.
Hopefully one day.
No, I think you should. I think you should do it. Why can't you do like the GoPro and a goal right now? The audience that you would get, and the inspiration that you'd give other people to enjoy the sport coming back here, I think you'd probably find that you get a really big following really quickly, by the way.
To be fair, like the England page, I've had like a lot of clicks in regards to like just saves of like me, or like me being me, like me chatting on the camera, me being a little bit cocky or something like that. So I mean, it's definitely something I want to explore in the future, so I won't write it off. And thanks for not being the only person that thinks it.
No, watch this space. I think you've got a huge career ahead of you, not just in the sport but in the social media aspect of it, mate. I can see you going really far.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Right, thank you for coming on, Tom Atkinson. This has been a class episode, mate. I've proper buzzed off it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Thank you, and good luck for the season. Good luck for the championships and everything like that, mate.
Absolutely. Thank you. You too. Best of luck for the season.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot. Right, this has been the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Top guest, by the way, Tom Atkinson. Absolutely buzzing off that.
Massive thank you to my sponsors, Mito Red Light and also Forged Irish Stout. They help us grow behind the scenes a lot more than other people would really see. Please make sure you subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Tom Atkinson, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
What a save from Mark Howard.